This is Teresa Trent, and you are listening to Books to the Ceiling, a podcast that features excerpts from new mysteries coming on to the market. Well, this week we're headed to Hollywood to work on the costume crew for the next great superhero movie, if there is such a thing. Final Cut is a wonderful backstage peek at movie making, and don't forget, there's a mystery to solve. Here's a little more about the book. The Hollywood Mystery Series. Every day on the set of a big-budget Hollywood movie is full of surprises, but the last thing key costumer Joey Jessup expected to find on the first day of principal photography was the body of a fellow crew member. And she immediately becomes a suspect, not only because she found the body on the beach in Malibu where they were shooting the movie, but because the victim, second assistant director Courtney Lyle, was seeing Joey's ex, first assistant director Eli Logan. When the press takes hold of the story and social media begins to run with it, Joey watches her well-ordered life behind the scenes of the movie business become front and center tabloid fodder. But that isn't even the worst of it. In addition to her new and unwanted stardom, Joey must also contend with the reckless behavior of the movie's predatory director and producer, Marcus Prey, who churns out blockbuster hits while subjecting his movie crews to a toxic work environment. As a result, Joey finds herself embattled both personally and professionally. With tensions building on set and a murder investigation looming over her life and future, Joey takes it upon herself to clear her name. Will she be able to uncover the truth before it's a wrap? Now here is an excerpt from Final Cut. June 21st, 8:10 p.m. Joey felt frustrated that she was late getting back to the shoot. By this time, nearly an hour after wrap, most of the movie crew had packed up and gone home after what had been a long, discouraging day. As key costumer, Joey usually started the morning on set, then ended her day at one of the specialty shops that made clothing for the film, or one of a dozen other tasks that went with her job. But tonight was different. She'd made the long drive back to the shooting location in Malibu because she wanted to talk to Courtney in person, and even though she wasn't looking forward to the conversation, she wished she'd made it back before the wrap. The second AD hadn't answered her texts, and now Joey was worried she'd missed the chance to do timely damage control to smooth over the tension between them after their flare-up on set earlier that day. The hectic pace of a movie had everybody on edge, but their confrontation could threaten the costume department's entire working relationship with the assistant directors. If she couldn't talk to the second AD without starting a fight, it was game over. Determined not to let that happen, Joey bypassed the wardrobe truck and headed straight to the AD trailer as soon as she got back to location. She'd seen firsthand the problems that came from bad blood between departments. One of her first films, the costume supervisor had gotten into a feud with the transportation captain. After that, the wardrobe trailers were permanently parked in Base Camp Siberia, as far from the actors' trailers as possible. The time it took to travel those extra yards added up fast when you had to cover them many times each day. Then drivers suddenly became unavailable to do runs of any kind for the costume department, no matter the urgency. That might not sound like a big deal, but transpo can be a lifesaver when you're up against an impossible deadline by making an important pickup or drop-off when everybody in your department is too slammed with work to do it, which can happen several times a week on a busy film. Getting on the wrong side of the AD department was even worse. Assistant directors are like air traffic controllers on a movie. Without them, everybody crashes into everybody else, literally and figuratively. Alienate the ADs and you are just asking for trouble. The costume department already had enough problems on this movie between the lack of prep time, late casting, and a director with an ego as big as his box office grosses. Making an enemy of the second AD wasn't an option. The thought sent a shiver through Joey as she picked up her pace. When she didn't find Courtney in the AD trailer, she continued her circuit of the movie's base camp, asking everyone she passed if they'd seen the second AD. "She was by the cafe set last I saw her, but that was a while ago," one of the grips said. Joey headed for the Paradise Cove Cafe up by the beach. All the actors' trailers nearest the set were dark and locked up for the night. She tried the back door of the cafe, but that too was secured, so she peered through the windows. A single work light remained on, but there was no sign of anyone inside. The cafe apparently deserted now that the day's filming was done. The sun was low in the sky, dipping toward the ocean. The longest day of the year, and that is exactly what it felt like to Joey. She'd run out of places to look. Anxiety tugged at her. Her relationship with Courtney was complicated, like it was whenever your ex is dating somebody new. And she needed to be honest with herself about the way her personal feelings may have clouded her interactions. With daylight dying over the water, she stepped onto the beach, hoping to feel a scrap of the serenity she always found in the natural rhythm of the breaking waves, like a favorite refrain, a golden oldie that just gets better with time. At the water's edge, she noticed a pile of clothing, buffeted by the incoming tide scudding across the sand. Her first thought was that one of the extras had abandoned their costume, but that didn't make any sense. As the sun dropped out of the sky, she took a few steps closer to investigate at the same time as a larger wave swept aside what she'd taken for coils of kelp swirling around that bundle of fabric. Horror sliced through Joey like a scalpel. She stumbled and fell to her knees. Courtney Lyle lay motionless in the shallow water at the shoreline, as the cold blue Pacific surf washed over her body. 14 hours earlier. Chapter 1. The first day of principal photography on a film is always a milestone in production, like opening night in the theater. After working mostly independently of each other for 3 months or more, all the different departments merged to become one big machine. No matter how many movies you've done, every new job is a blank slate. Each time you ask yourself, do I have what it takes to climb that mountain again? To create a new world out of whole cloth? Put up or shut up time. Joey slept poorly the night before, which was par for the course, but she couldn't shake the feeling of dread that dropped on her like a net as soon as she opened her eyes that morning. She'd had a bad feeling about this job from the start. She'd nearly passed on the movie for a number of reasons, both personal and professional, but the carrot of working so close to home was finally too tempting to resist. The costume department had been prepping for months, but the schedule was rushed for a project so large and complex. Lots of special effects, stunts, and complicated costumes. Lots of money and reputations on the line. Still, she felt her department was as ready as they could be, and her standards for readiness were high. So she tried to chalk up her misgivings to the first day of shooting jitters. Later, she'd wonder if they'd been a premonition. Just before sunrise, she pulled her car into the crew parking lot about a mile south of base camp in Malibu. A shuttle van idled, waiting to ferry people to the set. It was empty, save for the driver, whose head rested against his seat back. The Teamsters were responsible for the setup of vehicles and equipment, so that all was ready for the shooting company when they got to work. They were the first in and the last out every day, and most of them were expert at grabbing a few winks when they had a chance. Joey gathered her purse and work satchel, then locked her car and pinned her keys to her waistband. She had keys to the costume offices and storage space for the movie, as well as her personal keys, and this was the only sure way to keep them at hand throughout the day without losing them. She trotted over to the van and pulled the side door open, startling the driver out of his catnap. A grizzled veteran in his late 40s, he sat up with a frown until he saw who was climbing into his back seat. "Joey Jessup, girl, how you doing?" A wolfish grin lit his face. You are looking as fine as ever, sweet cheeks. Pete O'Neill was a relentless lech, and even though he was basically harmless, he could be tiresome, especially first thing in the morning. Pete, what a nice surprise, she said, trying to hide her true feelings. I didn't see your name on the crew list. We ran 3 weeks over on the last job down in Louisiana. Made it back in the nick of time to get on this one. Didn't want to miss out on the big show in L.A. for a change. No kidding, she said. This is the first job I've booked in the past 4 years that's shooting here. I'm thrilled to be sleeping in my own bed for the next 6 months. You coming off location too? I've been here prepping for this one for a while, but before that I was out of town shooting a western. How'd that go? He wiggled his eyebrows. You meet a lot of hunky cowboys? She managed to keep from rolling her eyes. It was an education. Never done a western before, huh? He gave her a knowing look. Whole different animal. That's one way of putting it. Joey had been on dozens of location shoots, but the western was a real eye-opener. From the wild temperature swings in the desert, 25 degrees at night to over 100 in the afternoon, to the dust storm that took out their generators one day, or the flash flood that nearly trapped them in a box canyon on another, the experience had given her a fresh appreciation for the comfort of shooting on the studio backlot. She stifled a yawn. Well, at least it was fast. A 6-week shoot. Yeah? His expression was skeptical. Who was directing? Clint Eastwood. She smiled as she pictured the director on the set, watching the shot in progress on a handheld monitor. Despite the difficult conditions, Joey enjoyed working with him. Pete nodded appreciatively. A man's a class act. Old school Hollywood. Yes, he is, she said. A real filmmaker. We could use more like him in the business these days.
You got that right. Pete checked his watch. I don't think I'll be getting any more customers for a while. Crew's call is not for another hour. If you want, I'll run you up to base camp now.
That'd be great. She slid the door closed. I can use some quiet time before everybody gets here. He dropped the van into gear. They turned north onto the Pacific Coast Highway as a pale watercolor wash of daylight began to spread across the ocean, sketching in the horizon line to the west. Joey took a deep breath, bracing herself for the nonstop activity the next 16 hours would bring.
Have you read the script for this one yet?
Pete glanced at her in the rearview mirror.
Didn't have much of a choice, she said lightly.
That bad?
Not my cup of tea. I'm not a big fan of comic book movies.
About all they make around here anymore, he said, if you want to earn a decent living.
Don't I know it? The screenplay was 125 pages of special effects-driven gobbledygook, but Joey had no doubt it would play well with the movie's crucial 14 to 20-year-old target audience.
I heard this one's about some new superhero.
Pete caught her eye in the mirror again. It's actually the Legion of Phenomenals, based on some underground comics that have a big cult following. Nothing new, but they haven't been used in any movies so far.
Why not just call it that instead of UMPB?
He was asking about the working title for the movie.
Sounds like a noise you'd make if you get punched in the stomach.
She couldn't help smiling. It's code for Untitled Marcus Prey Project. You know how paranoid the producers are. They're trying to keep the fanboys in the dark.
Like that's gonna stop them? The director will probably be posting pictures on Instagram for the set and the studio won't say boo to him.
Pete leaned back to talk to her over his shoulder.
Marcus Prey's no Eastwood, even if he is a big dog in the business right now. I'm taking care of his trailer, and I got a mile-long list of special stuff that's got to be on board for him and his friends.
Pete gave the word a suggestive emphasis. Marcus Prey was a powerful Hollywood hyphenate, a producer-director with a string of action-adventure blockbusters to his credit. This movie was sure to be another lucrative notch on his belt. Joey hadn't worked with him before, and some of the stories she'd heard made her think twice before she signed on to this job.
And that was an excerpt from Final Cut by Marjorie McCown. Final Cut is available at Amazon, Barnes & Noble, bookshop.org, Goodreads, and Penguin Random House. And I will be leaving the links to those online retailers in the notes for this podcast. Here's a little more about our author. Marjorie McCown spent 27 years in Hollywood working on the costumes for movies such as Forrest Gump, Apollo 13, and The Curious Case of Benjamin Button. Her film career provides the inspiration for her Hollywood mystery series of books that are set behind the scenes in the world of movie making and feature key costumer Joey Jessup as the main character. Her cozy murder mystery, Final Cut, from Crooked Lane Books, June of 2023, was chosen as Amazon Editor's pick in the Best Mystery, Thriller, and Suspense category. Deadly Pleasures magazine named Final Cut as one of the best cozy mysteries of 2023, and Final Cut was also named a top pick in the cozy mystery category for the Silver Falchion Award by Killer Nashville. Starstruck, book 2 in her Hollywood mystery series, published May 7, 2024. Marjorie is a member of Sisters in Crime and Mystery Writers of America. If you want to find out more about Margie, you can visit her website at marjoriemccown.com. That's all we have this week on Books to the Ceiling. And if you enjoyed this podcast, please take a moment to rate, review, or follow us. We also have a Facebook page. And Books to the Ceiling is a part of my blog at teresatrent.blog. Thank you so much for stopping by, and I hope to see you again next time with a new mystery on Books to the Ceiling.